What an honor it is for us to be here, and what a blessing it is for us to be in Canada, and not just Canada, but here in Kelowna. We really, really enjoy it here. We love it here. We love your pastors, even you guys, the church family. I feel right at home being here. You know, some not all places you can say that. Some places you want to get in and get out the back door. Get the car ready. I'm out of here. But it's not like that here. It's such a blessing. And what an awesome time in worship, amen? Can you really just sense the presence of God as we were worshiping Him, beholding Jesus? And what an awesome thing. Hallelujah. I thought it was so powerful during praise and worship about looking at maybe some things that you were, some battles, and giving those to Jesus. Jesus won the victory for us. That's the key. That's something that we don't need to just hear and say, oh, okay, yeah, Jesus won the victory for us, but we know it, and whatever we face, we know Jesus has won the victory for us. Jesus has done everything He had to do for us. He died on the cross one time. And when He did that, He won the victory for us. We're no longer victims anymore, but we are victors through Christ. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. This was God's top-level secret mission, sending Jesus down from heaven to earth to be the perfect sacrifice of sin and sickness. And it says in Corinthians, if the enemy would have knew this, if the devil would have known this, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Jesus won the victory for us. The devil lost the battle at Calvary. Sickness battle, it was broken. He lost at Calvary. Jesus won it for us. Amen. That's awesome. Hallelujah. I love your pastors, how special they are to me. I've known them for a long time. They knew me way before I was married to Destiny, even way before I knew God had a call in my life. I was pursuing other things, had other interests, but God got a hold of my life. And if you would have told me when I was a teenager, sitting in the back row, hanging out with my friends, that one day you would be preaching, I would say, there is no way. But God kind of has a sense of humor, and now here I am. So it's awesome. What a privilege, what an honor to be with you guys here tonight. As we talk about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will ride and confirm the word spoken tonight. So even as you're sitting here, there in your seats on a Thursday night, just lean in. Lean in to what the Holy Spirit wants to do, and if you want to check out as I'm talking, if you feel the presence of God, you go for it. Amen. I remember one time we went to this revival type service. They were having services for many weeks in a row, every night. So we came into town, and I remember I went to the service, and no one was preaching, the praise and worship just started, but I could sense it was like electricity was in the air. I was saying, whoa, this is, God's in this place. And even tonight, I can tell such an increase tonight than even last night. Amen. And I was saying, wow, this is amazing. But I love the presence of God. Amen. Let me open up in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, for this service tonight. Thank you for your people that came, Lord, made an effort to come. I thank you, Lord, you're rewarding every hungry heart. And I thank you, Lord, they don't hear my words. Lord, let them hear your words. And you said, is not my word like a fire? Is not my word like a hammer that break the rocks into pieces? Burn up anything that needs to be burned up. Break up anything that needs to be broken. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So Destiny and I, we go home tomorrow. And with this, we were been on a Canada tour We first started in, like I said last night, we started in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Little Moose Jaw. And then we went to Edmonton and spoke at a church. And we've really been seeing on this tour, it's amazing because every year we come, it's like we see even greater and greater things. We see God do amazing things. People's lives, people getting saved, lives rededicated. People that had depression, not depressed anymore. That's a good thing. Too many depressed Christians. We got to have joy. We got to have a smile on our face. Because we are sons and daughters of the Most High. Amen. And it's so funny because I spoke about last night how even when we first went to Moose Jaw, middle of nowhere, driving the car, blizzard, snowstorm, having to go out way before the service, start the car. I never seen a car not want to start. It was so cold. I was saying, what, this car? I felt bad for the car. It goes, goo, 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 goo. And I see trans temp. I go, what is that? I've never seen that. Goo, 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 barely turns over. Had to plug the car in. But I would tell the people, I'm not just on this Canada tour just to come, but I'm expecting God to move even here in Moose Jaw. And even after our first time there, Destiny and I were talking. We're like, should we go back there again? But then I get a video, a testimony from a guy. I had problems. I had heart problems. When you were there, God healed me. I got a clean bill of health from the doctor. And even last night after the service, the pastor texted us. Even this morning, Pastor Diana, she sent us an email of all these testimonies that happened to Moose Jaw. So I said, we're going back to Moose Jaw. But I'm believing even testimonies here tonight in Kelowna. I know there was testimonies in Edmonton. But even tonight, testimonies of the goodness of God. That I am forever changed by the presence and the power of God. And whatever you're hungering for, that's what you get. You know, faith expects. Faith has a hunger. Blind Bartimaeus, he expected a miracle. The woman with the issue of blood, she expected to be made whole. She didn't go, I'm going to try this. I don't know if it'll work. I've tried everything. I've been dealing with this for 12 years. No, she said, if I just may touch Jesus, if I get around Jesus, I know the power of God will heal me. And even in the Greek, it says that she kept on saying, if I may touch Jesus, I know I will be made whole. If I may touch Jesus, I know I will be made whole. What is this? This is faith, speaking, confession, believing in her heart, saying with her mouth. And she got what she said. Every time Jesus, after these miracles, every time Jesus says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Blind Bartimaeus, your faith has made you whole. The centurion officer, just say the word, speak the word only, and my servant, he'll be healed. I've never seen such great faith in Israel. Your faith has done this. He's looking for people that have a faith in God. Not just coming to church just to come, not coming to a Thursday night meeting just because you kind of feel like you have to, but you're coming and you're expecting God to forever change your life. Whatever you're believing for, you're expecting tonight is the night. Amen. And he's here. The healer is in the house. Amen. And I want to share something that's so precious in my life, and I've been seeing it in the scriptures for a while, and something that I'm not just preaching to you, but something I practice. I believe if as a minister, you shouldn't just preach a message, but you should practice it. That's a good thing, right? And I still am practicing it. I still stir up myself on this daily. And it's this, having courage. Here's the title, having courage to contend for God to use you. Having that courage to say, you know what, God, I want you to use me. I know you're using Pastor Dieter, Pastor Dieter, I know you're using them, but God, I want you to use me.
having that courage. And the enemy might say, you know what? You can't. Look at your past. Say, devil, you are a liar. The precious blood of Jesus washed all my sins away. And I want God to use me. Well, Brandon, I don't want to talk with the microphone. I don't want to preach. Hey, there's so many ways God wants to use you. In your daily work activity, God wants you to say, God, daily use me. Being a greeter, greeting people in the church, God, use me. I want people to see you. When they walk in, they're going to feel so comfortable. They're going to feel the Holy Spirit. God, use me. One of the most precious things that we can know in these days that we're in, that we're living in, the last days, is this. God, he wants to use you. He wants to flow through you. You might say, I'm not qualified. I'm not very good. God's saying, okay, I don't care about that. I'm going to flow and I'm going to use you. Smith Wigglesworth, we know about Smith Wigglesworth, powerful man of God, used to be a plumber. He's in his 50s. He got a hunger for God and God started to use him. But even they would use him as an example about the anointing. He would speak at Bible colleges, and he would get up there, and he would start kind of stumbling over his words, not, you know, kind of nervous. And then all of a sudden, the anointing will come, and he would turn into a different man. But he was a man. God, I want you to use me. And God has a plan for your life. It's not just for the people that you see on TV, the ministers with the shiny suits on saying, hello, it's no coincidence you turn to this channel right now. God's speaking to you right now. That's great, but God wants to use you. God has no favorites. We're all his favorites. And he's looking for someone that will have faith and say, God, I want you to use me. Even praying about this, this is what kept coming up. The greater the call on your life, the greater the fight. The greater the call that is on your life, the greater the fight. Even Destiny and I, there is times I feel like everything's coming against us. I feel the enemy. And I'll get in the Word, I'll spend time in the Word, but I always know something is about to happen good. A breakthrough is about to happen for Brandon and Destiny. And it always does. I said, hey, remember last time? Something's about to happen. And supernaturally, it will happen. Someone that we don't even know sending us a check. Wow, supernatural. Breakthroughs. We serve a God of breakthroughs. We serve a God of he's a way maker. And I remember way before I met Destiny and I was brought up not just in a Christian home, but a ministry family. And I remember I would have these seasons where I would say, Brandon, you're going to get your act together. You're going to start reading your word. You're going to start listening to worship music. And I would pull out my Psalms 23, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. I would, and it was like this. Every time I would read the word, it felt like everything was coming against me. So I'd stop reading it. I said, man, every time I read the Bible, it feels like things are coming against me. What do you think that was? That was the enemy. It was like everything was, I'm like, why is this happening to me? And I would stop reading the Bible. The enemy trying to discourage me, trying to have me stop spending time in the word. And then guess what? I broke through that. Reading, spending time with the Lord, here comes something else. Pressure broke through that because we serve a God of breakthroughs. I like this. You can just listen to this. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Passion Translation says this. We have become his poetry. We are a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. Do you guys believe that tonight? Here in Kelowna, you will fulfill the destiny God has given you. Not your own plans, not your destiny. No, God says, I have a destiny for you tonight. We will fulfill the destiny God has given each of us.
for we are joined to Jesus, the anointed one. And I want you to listen to this. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. In the Amplified, it says, God made a path for your life before you were born. God planned your life. And when God plans something, he plans it perfectly. He doesn't plan you sitting in a valley your whole life, broke, discouraged. No, God has an amazing plan for your life. He was thinking about you before you were born, and he says, I have a destiny for them. I have a plan for them. I have a call for them to fulfill. Take courage to contend. God, I want you to use me. I see that you have a plan for my life. Before I was born, you had this path for me. And I'm going to have the courage to say daily, God, I want you to use me. And the word courage is this, boldness. Here's the definition. Fearless and daring. Courageous. We need to be fearless and daring and have a boldness in these times that we are living in. You turn on the news, so much corruption. You see on the streets, downtown, you see ungodly things. Guess what? We need to have a courage and a boldness in these times we are living in. And we are called to walk a walk of faith. And walking this walk of faith takes courage. It takes boldness. The enemy will try to get you off that walk of faith. He'll try to discourage you. He'll try to make it look like no one cares about you. He'll try to put depression upon you. And in the times that we are living in, we got to have courage and boldness like never before. Even where we live at in Hollywood, Los Angeles, California, recently, two pastors of big mega churches, huge followings, they're committing suicide, taking their own lives. I read about what happened. They were discouraged. They had depression. And be very watchful. They try to hide it under these little cute little terms. Well, he was, his whole life he's been dealing with it. His parent, you know, his family started dealing with it. He took a sabbatical. They went a long way up in the mountains and put worship music on. No, it is the devil. It's some little demon. Get in the word and say, devil, you can't touch me. I don't care if my family has it. I will not be depressed. I will not be discouraged. Spirit, you gotta go. Robin Williams had over $200 million in the bank account, kills himself, depressed, discouraged. There's too many discouraged Christians in these times that we are living in. You never see Paul in the Bible say, be discouraged. Oh, it's tough, guys. I know it's tough, but just be discouraged. Just sit there. It's going to be all right. No, you see Paul, you see him shipwrecked, going to make a fire on the island of Malta, and you see him get bit by a snake, and he shakes it off. He didn't go, oh my gosh, is this poisonous? Look at its eyes. Are they slanted or are they round? Slanted. Oh, it's poisonous. And it says people were making fun of him. They're looking at him. But what did Paul do? He had the courage to what? Shake it off. Shipwreck. He had the courage to say, you know what? God is for me. And you see what happens. All these barbarians, these ungodly people, a massive revival takes place. And God uses Paul, lays hands on the leader there. He gets healed. And they send off Paul with a ship from Alexandria. He left loaded down with the blessings of God. But what would have happened if Paul would have got discouraged? What would have happened if Paul would have quit?
What would have happened if Paul would have let his emotions dictate what was happening to him? Oh my gosh, this is, I am cursed. I've been shipwrecked. Now I got bit by a snake. No, he shook it off. Anything the enemy might try to throw against you that's not of God, you shake it off. And you do that by faith. You don't go by how you feel, what you may see, what the doctors may tell you. You do it by faith. Someone asked Smith Wigglesworth, they went to his house, and they said, how you doing, Smith? He goes, I never ask Smith Wigglesworth how he feels. I tell him how he feels. And we have to have the courage to do what God has called us to do in these times. Amen? Caleb and Joshua, the 12 Hebrew spies, the 10 come back with an evil report. We know this. An evil report of doubt. The Bible calls doubt evil. But Caleb and Joshua, they had a different report. They said, guess what? Get ready, boys. We are well able. We can do it. God is for us. This land is ours. It's better than advertised. God wants to do some things in your life that is better than you can even imagine. But he's calling you to have that faith to say, I am ready. That's not too good for me. I believe it. But it says this in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. It said that Caleb had another spirit than the others. What do you think that was? It was a courageous spirit. And the Bible said he had another spirit different from all the others. A courageous spirit. David had courage. Field ministry, out in the field, spending time with God, not trying to be the king, worshiping the king. Samuel comes, the Lord directs him to anoint the next king out of Jesse's house. David's brothers, they look like they're the king, tall, good looking. God says, no, no, no. Samuel says, is there one more? Yeah, it's David, but he's out in the field. Samuel says, bring him. We will not sit till he comes. And when David comes in, he's young, and God says, there he is, anoint him. Then God makes a statement in the word. It says, I don't look at man the way you look at him. You look from the outside, but I look at the heart. And David had courage. He killed the lion and the bear in private. Didn't put on social media. Look what I got today. And God says, you know what? Those private victories that you won, I'm about to turn them into public victories. You'll take out Goliath. And he got anointed the horn of oil, symbolic of the Holy Spirit, poured upon him. He was anointed by Holy Spirit. And he, a little boy, he ran after Goliath when everyone else was scared. And he won the battle for Israel. We have the Holy Spirit. We don't have little Holy Spirit. We don't have medium-sized Holy Spirit. We have big Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. Jesus told his disciples, it's good for you that I go, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit will not come. Jesus, how could that be? We're with you for 3 years, having meals together. Drinking coffee together. Amen. How could that be better for you to go? He says, if I don't go, he cannot come. The Holy Spirit. And guess what? He lives inside of you and I. Have courage that you have the Holy Spirit. Have courage to contend. God, I want you to use me. And the early church walked in this courage. Me reading in the book of Acts and studying the book of Acts, I see the foundation of our church. I see them in Acts chapter 2, anointed with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, and how God started to use them to shake cities and nations. But how they had courage. They didn't care what people thought. Even when persecution came against them, they just let it go and they kept on going. And I want you to see this in Acts chapter 4. You can turn there. Amen.
Acts chapter 4, verse 3. So in Acts chapter 3, a great miracle took place. A lame man, he was healed, walking, leaping, praising God. People were excited. A great miracle, but not everyone is excited about this. Acts chapter 4, verse 3, it says this, and they laid hands on them, and they put them into hold until the next day, for it was now evening time. How many know this is not good hands? This is not, hey, Peter and John, I appreciate your ministry. Mighty man of God, I want you to come to Victory Live, Kelowna, right by the water. We're going to have like a 10-day meeting. No, this is, they put them into jail, put hands on them. But look at this in verse 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So you see people hungry for the power of God. They said, that's the God I want to serve. And 5,000 gave their lives to God. This is revival. This is a move of God. 5,000 people said, that's the God I want to serve. I want to serve Jesus. And it hasn't changed today. People are searching. People are looking for what you and I carry. And we carry the Master. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have power. 5,000 people said, that's the God I want to serve. Now I want you to look at verse 13. Now when they saw, what did they see? They saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. But they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I love that. And the natural, they didn't go to the universities. They didn't have all the formal training. But they took knowledge of them that they have been with Jesus. And what was the result of them being with Jesus? They had boldness. They had courage. When you spend time with Jesus on a daily basis, you will have courage and you will have boldness when no one else does. They said, you know what? These guys are not the smartest guys, but they've been with Jesus, and the result of that, they have a boldness. They have a courage. You can have all the training you want. You can go to all the universities you want. But number one is this, being with Jesus. That's the key right there. And they saw that they had been with the Master. Jesus was not with them walking on the earth. He was already gone. But they had the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He makes Jesus real to people. Amen. And they said, they got a boldness. They've been with Jesus. And this is something, this is before I met Destiny. The Lord, when my life started to change and I really became on fire for God, I started traveling with my grandmother for over 3 years and meeting powerful men and women of God. And I wasn't 100% on fire, if I want to be honest with you, but it changed. Something happened. It got on me. I caught something. I remember going to these services, and my grandmother would say, Brandon, we're going to go in this back room, and the other minister, he's powerfully used by God, the Holy Spirit, and I just want to let you know that. I said, thank you so much. Lord, please forgive me for anything I've done. Wash me from all my sins, from the east to the west. Don't reveal anything to this guy. Nothing in Jesus' name. Help me, Lord. I'll get back on track after this meeting. I would go, and so many times, it was like I had a big light on me, like talk to me, bother me. I'm trying to be in the corner, trying to get out of the way. I walked into that room, and here's that minister, you. I'm like, he must be talking to someone else. You, come here, let's go on a walk. And he would walk, and he would talk to me about the Lord, what's God putting on your heart. Powerful men of God. And my life changed. I started to become on fire for God. Where I after the meetings were over, that I would be helping my grandmother instead of going to the pool and working out and doing all that. I would go back and actually read my Bible, spend more time with God, even though we just had like a four-hour service, because I was on fire for God and my life was changing. I could tell, and I didn't have to tell anybody. People noticed it. People say, "What's wrong with you? What, you seem different." And I wouldn't even tell them. I would say, "I don't know. Maybe you seem different." I didn't tell them anything. I was real low-key about it. But it was spending those hours daily with God, and habits that I had and things I was struggling with, they were falling off. Maybe something you're struggling with, a habit or addiction, whatever it is, it doesn't fall off by you magnifying it, you always looking at it, maybe I'll get rid of it. No, put your eyes on Jesus, and before you know it, it will fall off. I wasn't listening to the same music I used to listen to. Now I'm listening to worship music all the time. And my life was changing. People started to see it. But in those times, what the Lord really put on my heart was courage. And I was studying courage all the time. I'm giving you like a 10 little minute message about it. But I was really studying about Nehemiah and the courage he had. And the courage he had to go rebuild the gates of Jerusalem, and how he was the king's cupbearer, and how he could have died by, you know, being even sad in the king's presence. But he had something from God, and he didn't care. He had courage to say, "King, I want to go and I want to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem." And I saw how that was literally, he put his life on the line. He had courage. And how God used him to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, sent him out with the security escort, took care of him. How that decision to come to the king, how the Lord honored that. And I was really studying that. I was studying about David, how he had courage to trust God. And my faith was being built in the area of courage. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, not heard once, heard twice. But when you hear and hear and hear, and faith was growing on the inside, and I started to have courage. And I'm talking about contending tonight for God to use you. I started to have the courage to contend. God, I want you to use me. I don't know if I'll speak in a mic. I don't care. But I want you to use me. And I will go to all these meetings that I could go to. And I would be around these ministers on fire for Jesus. I call them fireballs. Revelation, it talks about being hot, lukewarm, or cold. So you're either a fireball, spitball, or a snowball. If you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Spitball. Fireballs. I would go to these meetings, and I would sit there, not to be noticed, not for people to acknowledge me. I was hungry for God, and I was saying, God, I want you to use me. Whether if it's in the prayer closet, whatever it is, I want to be on fire for you, and I'm going to have the courage to say, God, use me. I remember one time we were at this service. Place was packed, and we were sitting there on the front row. Here's this man preaching, a man of revival, how God had used him amazing ways. And he was talking about his life. And he starts talking about revival. And he looks over in our area, and he goes, "I don't know why I'm talking about revival tonight." He said, "Someone over here must be really contending for God to like use them, hungry for it." Pointed at our area. So he finished his message, the place is packed out. He comes right over to our area. And when he comes by me, I could feel the glory of God. I could feel the heavy weightiness of the presence of God. And it was like it was pushing me back. And then he had a guy come and grab me. And he stood there and he opened up his suit coat. He goes, "You feel that, son? You feel that?" He says, "That's the glory of God. You're going to carry it." He says, "You have a heart for it." Laid hands on me, destiny. A few of my family members, they were all out, laying there on the seats. I can still see it right now. And then he was done, and he walked out of the back door. Places like, hey, what about me? The minister that was hosting him said, Elvis did not leave the building. God is still here. It's not about a person. Brayden, come up here. Brayden's going to lay hands on you now. But I had such a courage to say, God, in contending, God, I want you to use me. I want what they carry. I see how they serve you, how they've been faithful. I want that. I want it more than clothes. I want it more than any physical thing. I want what they got. I know what it's like being around people, and it just feels like electricity, the glory of God, the presence of God. I said, I want that. I want you to use me. I want to have courage to say, God, and contend, God, I want you to use me. Amen. So I'm consumed on this courage. I'm studying courage all the time. My life is changing. I am starting to have courage. But this is way before destiny. I'm in a relationship with the girl I shouldn't be in a relationship with. The first part of the relationship, you could say it was good, but it really wasn't. But as I started hungering for God, when Jesus became real, on fire for the Lord, and I started sending back courage, I knew I was not in the place I should be. And this was not right for Brandon. I saw how it was trying to pull me this way, and God says, no, I want you this way. It won't be good. So I knew this. People knew it. People would say, hey, that's not a right situation. I'd say, do you not think I know that? I wouldn't tell them that. I would say, trust me, I know it, but I don't have the courage. I don't know how to get out of it. Because it was like the enemy, it was tempting to stay and have a so-called comfortable life rather than just say, you know what, I'm going to walk on the water and I'm going to have the courage to say, God, use me. I'll go and I'll do whatever you've called me to do. My life started to change. I had courage. And then something happened, which I don't talk about at all. I've talked about it maybe once or twice, but I know the Lord wants me to start talking about it more. I shared, my grandmother has a radio broadcast, and I shared about what happened. I shared about courage, and a pastor called and said, I want you to come to my church, and I want you to talk about courage, and I want to do a whole week radio broadcast. He had a radio show as well. I want to do a whole week of radio on what happened with you concerning courage. So this is what happened. I had a heavenly encounter about courage. Like I said, I'm in a relationship I shouldn't be in. I'm studying faith. I'm starting to change. I have courage. I'm contending, God, I want you to use me. And then the best way I can describe it was, I was on my couch. I was worshiping God. I could sense the presence of God. I could sense the anointing kind of going in me. I open my eyes. I look, and I see two angels. One of them's looking at me, smile on its face. Then I see another one off to the side holding it looked like papers. I saw one of them that was looking right at me take that piece of paper, put it on my chest, and I saw it form to my chest and go into me. That's what I was feeling. Next thing you know, I am in a place. When it happened, I didn't tell people. I just told him it was a place, but I knew it was heaven. And I'm walking, and I am deciding where to walk. It's not like I'm having this dream, and I'm just, no, I'm walking. I'm walking to certain areas. And I walk into this room, and it was a classroom. And I remember when I first walked into this room, there's about 40 or 50 people. And the desks were kind of set up long ways. The chairs were kind of like this, but they're all put together. And there was only one seat left, and it was in the front row, front center. I immediately thought, I don't usually sit in the front row. Maybe the back. So I sat down. I remember I started analyzing what was going on. I looked. The first thing I did is I turned around and looked, and I saw people behind me. I saw a woman with dark hair right behind me. Then I looked, and over there was a door. I saw an angel, real tall, super serious, standing there. Didn't play around. Then I look straight ahead. There's a marker board, like a board, a back door. And then the back door opened, and here comes a guy so full of joy, so full of happiness. I say this, he was so loose, religion was not holding him down. He comes in happy, and immediately I knew, no one told me, I just knew this is David, King David. And he walked in, and he grabbed like a marker, and he said, "Today I'm going to teach you on," and he turned around and he wrote it at the same time he said it. He said, "Today I'm going to teach you on courage." And he wrote it in purple. And he said this, "There is going to be a test." And right away, the angel came out. He passed out tests to everybody. I had books and a test. Pretty thick test. Multiple choice. Thank God for multiple choice. I remember how all the questions were. They were all single space, just tons of questions, all multiple choice. Then class was over. I heard again, "There's going to be a test." So I don't know what to do. I walk out of this class, and that angel was there, and he grabs me, and he hands me something. I don't know what it is. So I remember I stood there, people walking by me. I'm kind of in the way. The door's open. Probably 400 to 500 people are outside. Looks like they want to come into this class. And then next thing I know, David puts his arm around me, and he says, "Let me tell you what that is." He said, "That is a highlighter." But he said, "Those books in your hand are not yours yet. But while you're here, everything you highlight, only your eyes can see it, and it will be highlighted in pure gold." Put a little crown on, put off to the side. And then he said, "Let's get away from all these people," which I thought was cool. I'm like, okay. But he was so full of love, so full of joy. That's all I remember as we were walking off. I remember he had his arm around me. Then I went to another class, set up completely different. It was all round tables. And the teacher, he looked like he is full of wisdom, like maybe like the prophets of old, long beard, long flowy clothes. I sit down, and I remember I had such a freedom to learn. My mind was clear, like I can't even explain it to you tonight. And he said, "Today I want to teach you on numbers." And he said, "Numbers are not in the Bible just to be in the Bible, but they all have a specific meaning. And tonight we're going to learn about the number 8. I remember I had the piece of paper, had the number 8, had a bunch of lines next to the number 8. You had to identify parts of it. I had no idea what to do. I raised my hand. Here comes the teacher holding the Bible, the Word of God. It was so precious to him. The way he held it, he reverenced it. And I remember him coming up to me, and he was showing me in the Bible what that part was, but I don't remember that. Next thing you know, I'm back to where I was. I know this sounds pretty wild, pretty crazy. This happened years ago. I never share it very much, just like maybe once or twice. But the Holy Spirit's telling me, "I want you to share it. It's not just for you, it's for his people." But I came back with a courage and a boldness like I can't even explain. I was on fire. I told my grandmother, I told people what happened. She said, "Brand, that number 8 is new beginnings. I know God was saying, Brandon, you're about to walk into a new beginning with me. It's also covenant, God's covenant. He'll never break it. It's the infinity sign. It can never be broken. My new beginning. But I'm still in a relationship with someone I should not be in a relationship with. I broke it off. I remember I went to brush my teeth that night. The Holy Spirit spoke to me, Brandon, you passed the test. It was not a test on paper. It was a test, a courage test of you breaking off that relationship. You passed the test. And that's when my new beginning started to happen. God started changing my life. Me traveling with my grandmother, on fire for God, meeting destiny. Amen. I could tell you so many supernatural things that I even told my mother. I remember one night, I was at the gym real late at night. I came back and I was talking to my mom. I said, "Mom, the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'll have a ministry, but it'll be only when my wife comes." She said, "Oh, that's interesting. I married Destiny and our ministry starts happening." Not because I thought it. It just started, doors started happening. And I started just giving myself to it. But I had that courageous walk, a new beginning with God. God wants to so change your life tonight. He wants to have even, it'll seem like a new beginning, a fresh start, starting tonight as you yield yourself to it. I even believe things that some of us in here tonight, all of us tonight, we're going to skip some levels. Do you believe that? Maybe where we've been, maybe kind of plateauing. We're going to jump some levels tonight. Levels people had to work 10, 20, 30 years. Tonight, there's going to be a jumping, a skipping of levels. A new beginning. A new walk with God. A new courageous, faith-filled walk. Hallelujah. I can really sense the anointing of God. God's doing something right now. Just yield yourself to it. God is doing something right here tonight. And even recently, the Lord, I've been thinking about this. And I went, one of the first times I ever talked about this, I went to my friend who, he's now become my friend, but he heard me on the radio talk about it. He said, "Brandon, I want you to come to Oklahoma City." I spoke, then we did a whole week-long series on the radio about courage. Right when I left, that pastor was diagnosed with brain cancer. Given up. God supernaturally heals him. Completely cancer free. But he said, "Brandon, that courage was not for the radio broadcast listeners. I didn't know it, but it was for me." And he said, "When I was going through the chemo, when I was going through all the things, I would come in, I would fly and speak at his church on a Sunday morning because he couldn't preach because he had to close his eyes because of the migraine headaches. But Brandon, I would think about that courage. I would think about David walking all joyful and loose. And now he is 100% healed. Church is doing awesome. The courage was for him." Hallelujah. Courage to contend. "God, I want you to use me." Contend, not pretend. Not to pretend that you want God to use you. You have it all going on the outside. "Yeah, God, use me." No, really, I want God to use me. In Jude, the book of Jude, it talks about contending for the faith. I see what God did with the people of old, how God used them. Miracle signs and wonders. I'm contending for that. I'm contending for the book of Acts, even greater. God, I'm contending for the faith. And then it talks about in the last days, there's going to be people that come. They'll be denying the power of God, but it says they'll be devoid of the life of the Spirit of God. They won't have that walk in the Spirit. They might look like they have it all together. They might have the crowds, but it says they will be the walk of the Spirit will not be evident in their life. But it talks about us. How are we going to contend for the faith? But it says us. We build up ourselves on our most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. How are we going to contend for it? By praying in the Spirit. We'll have that walk of the Spirit, the walk of power. We'll speak in other tongues. But it talks about people in the last days, even ministers, they'll be sensual, all about their feelings and this and you're that. And it's nothing about the Lord. But we contend by us praying in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And he wants you tonight to have a courage and a boldness and for you to contend. God, I want you to use me. You're no respecter of persons. I want you to use me in Kelowna. I want to shine with your glory. I'm going to spend time praying in the Spirit. I don't want to look like, I don't want to have a form of godliness. I want to have it all. Having that courage to contend. God, I want you to use me. I want to pray like never before. I want to spend time in your presence like never before. Because God, I want you to use me. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes.